Captain's Log, Episode 98. This episode of the Beer Avengers podcast is sponsored by the Beer and Cheese Collective, located at 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard in Astoria, Queens. Enjoy their eclectic array of craft beer, artisanal cheeses, and specialty grocery items at the Beer and Cheese Collective. Home bar to yours truly, Captain Porter Brown Stout. Captain Huck and Beer Wonder enjoy five pours while riffing on candy, 80s films, the Oscars, ruminations on the 2023 American Dialect Society's Word of the Year, and other stuff, I think. It was a two-show night, so the whole thing seems kind of hazy even in post. You be the judge. Remember to like, star, and subscribe whenever that feels appropriate. And send us your emails at thebeervengers@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions, or if you just like hearing us talk about you on the show. And now, without further ado, please enjoy episode 98. Enshittification is the word.
We're the Beer Avengers.
We're the Beer Avengers.
Welcome to the Beercast, everyone. Coming to you from an undisclosed location in Astoria, Queens, I am Captain Porter Brown Stout.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in the city of Walnut Creek, California.
Ooh.
This is the Pale Male, Hophead Huck.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in the county of Kings, it is I, the Beer Wonder.
And we are
look out.
Oh boy.
So everyone, this welcome to Beer Avengers After Dark.
Oh my gosh. Everyone is emotionally prepared already.
I think it's even starting to get dark in California where Huck's recording from, because that's right. Hopefully you heard our last show. And we recorded this one immediately. We are recording this one immediately after. So we've got started on some things, and we're looking forward to getting on to some more things.
You broke the illusion. This is supposed to be a fresh day.
This is a new day. It's a new dawn. We're all fighting to stay on the island still.
And so yes, if this is an illusion that you wish to perpetrate, pretend that we're doing this live right now. And the moment you download it and are listening to it is the moment it's happening, whether that's wherever that's, whenever that is,
I like
whatever
that
reality you choose to engage in, the Beer Avengers are here for you.
Although I've got to say, Glow Popper is going to be thrilled, because we know Glow Popper loves second pour show. So, or second round show, or whatever we call this. So, hey, Glow Popper, how you doing?
Hey, Glow Popper. So we're back for some great pours, just the three of us. No guests this one. It's just us having beers
so far.
Shit. Oh, wait, you think we might have some more surprise ones showing up?
Well, we never can tell with Nutpool.
You say what you will. About
see, I was saying Uncle Ed is here, but
Uncle Ed is one of your best influences. He's one of your best California Beer Avenger influencers, isn't he?
Yeah,
because I feel like all your stories about Uncle Ed is like, well, let's have the beer now.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Speaking of which, I think it's time we get to the pours.
That was an excellent segue, Captain. That was first class.
Hey, episode 98. If I haven't figured that out to some degree,
I would hope call it a
pandemic. Call it a decade. I don't know what we're gonna call it.
I don't know. Almost half a decade.
We need to see what we're
gonna
call our beers first.
That's true.
So, Beer Wonder, why don't you go first? You went last time.
Oh, heck yeah!
Oh my gosh, that was so kind. Well, here's the thing.
No drama.
I know. Well, here's the thing, y'all. Tonight I will be enjoying a
sponsored pour.
Oh, another sponsored pour from the Beer and Cheese Collective, 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard. Shout out to the provider for giving us such wonderful sponsored pours.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. We're getting crazy now, because if you've been listening for 98 episodes, you will be aware that I do have a predilection, a preference, a joy, a wonder, a warmth in my soul for the IPAs. But tonight, I will not be drinking an IPA.
Oh, no.
And this is almost thematic to some of the important reporting that we have to do, because it is almost, it's almost an honor of someone very special within our Beer Avengers sphere, who we were celebrating, you know, within our last times together. But tonight I will be drinking a Saison Ale from Transmitter Brewing Company. This is S4.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Yeah. I love those very Transmitter good. Saisons.
Exactly. Known for their Saisons. Some who have drunk with me before know that Saison is not always my number one, but I'm really excited about this one tonight because it does look like it's a good flavor profile for me. So here's a little sneak peek at S4.
Ooh, another very bright one.
Exactly.
Yeah, juicy looking.
But the
light, juicy, a little funky. Which is what you expect from a Saison on the nose.
Absolutely.
We'll have to see how it gets as we dive a little deeper into this beer.
So yeah, let's see that can again.
Oh, right. You probably would want to see both of those together, wouldn't you? Just like that. Yeah. Look at that.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I know.
All right.
All right. I'm feeling generous. Huck, you go next.
Oh, wow.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you, Captain. I'm going to go to, and as you know, I like to bring new, never before used breweries to the scene. This is called Motel Helles.
Motel Helles
Lager. Low ABV, 4.8. This is from Narrative Fermentation Brewing out of a lovely city called San Jose.
Aha.
Very good.
I feel like I've heard of that town. I feel like they might do some good.
I can never get good directions there. That's the problem.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the way to San Jose, and no one will tell me.
No, that's unfortunate. Very nice. But this is, and it, look at that. It is very clear. That is a gorgeous looking beer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Helles isn't always my favorite. Sometimes I feel like they're too sweet, but I'll tell you what, when it's called Motel Helles like this, maybe it's going to be a little scarier.
I hope so. Got a bite.
Going to get into it. Hopefully, right, have a little good bite. Yeah.
All right, Captain.
All right.
Let's
I've also have a
sponsored pour.
Oh my gosh.
From the Beer and Cheese Collective. Now, when I went to the provider, she likes to give us recurring themes. You remember how we had all the ongoing of the Collective Arts, or was Collective Arts the Origin of Darkness?
Yes.
And that was a wonderful thing. And you may recall a while back we had one of the versions of the Abomination Midnight Snack. They've had several different versions. I think we had one of them on the show. Well, this is the Abomination Midday Snack.
Oh, so there you go. Still a stout. It's still a snack. It's a stout,
but it's only 7.7% ABV. It is called a Freak Shake Milkshake Stout.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, my.
And now this has whipped cream, brownies, marshmallow, caramel, peanuts, and cookies and cream ice cream.
Holy F.
That's our midday snack. Let's see what we got here.
This is going to be, I think it might land on the sweet side.
Wow.
It just this might. We will coming see.
Out, coming out dripping out of that can you just emptied the oil.
My goodness.
After 60,000 miles on the road.
Holy moly.
Look at that guy on there.
That
Holy
is
smokes.
Out of this world. My gosh.
We'll have to that dig is deeper into that can as we go along.
Yeah, I got questions on that.
We are all officially beard. Cheers, Vengers.
Cheers, Vengers.
Cheers, Vengers, indeed.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal, y'all. You know, I have had some feelings on the Saisons of the past. They could be a little too funky, a little too peppery, a little bit too much like, you know, the forbidden herb, as some might say, the old types might say. But this
a little dank,
legalized in New York recently and now on every street corner. But this one is
on every street corner, weirdly enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's confusing. This one is notes of pepper and stone fruits. And you know what?
Okay.
That's right. That's exactly what this is. It's it's peppery and it's stone fruit. And you know what? Hey, Mikey, He likes it.
He likes it.
I know. It's a real nice, refreshing pour here. You know, it's got kind of this like pilsnery character to it, but there's a nice note of like spicy dankness to that, and then a really good fruity undertone. For those of you who might be making your way out of IPAs and into Saisons, the S4 is definitely a good way to go because it's kind of bridging the gap. It's a good transitional beer. I'm digging it. I would drink quite a few.
Very good.
Great review right there.
Hey, Mikey, well, he likes it.
I'm going to let the captain.
I'm going to say this midday snack. I honestly love that can art. It's like, it's basically a demon looking like they're having some one of those big parfaits from Friendly's.
It's like
the whole like ice cream sundae thing here. I will say I would love to share this with Huck because I think you might like it more than I do. Because with those like seven different ingredients I listed there, they do push a little hard on the peanut. I don't dislike it, but it's like there's something about peanut that can just sort of dominate everything. But I'm enjoying it nonetheless. It's got a nice full body. And if you like I guess I'm thinking more like, so with all those ingredients, I remember when I used to go to Friendly's after the show, because that's, you know, we talked on that last show about how, you know, going after. We all talk about going out and having beers after the show now. Right. But when I was in high school, we always went to Friendly's, and I would often get the Reese's Pieces Sundae. This puts me a little bit in the mind of that one. It was always like it was the biggest Sundae they had, and I got that a lot.
Well, that was a big deal in the back in the day, but Hershey's bought Friendly's. Like they
oh yeah,
they what do we call it? Takeover. They did a takeover.
Yeah,
they acquired Friendly's, and so then they just pushed all their products in there, and Reese's Pieces was like, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Also right around the same time as the E.T., so it was like...
Sure. Well,
the
you know,
kids that was there, that's a film where the alien eats those Reese's Pieces.
That's right, and you know, in the original script, there were M&Ms.
Of course.
Yeah, well, the good old days but on
somehow,
that one.
Somehow M&M's wouldn't let them have the rights to it, so they basically created a whole market for Reese's Pieces because M&M's thought they were too good for a blockbuster movie.
Those
M&M Mars people are... Well, I mean,
M&M's
are doing...
Calm down.
They're doing fine, so they didn't lose out, really, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I was just listening to a podcast today where Henry Winkler was offered the role of Danny Zuko in Grease, the movie.
Yeah.
And he turned it down because he was like, well, I don't want to just play the Fonz for everything I do.
Probably was a wise move. It wasn't a great movie.
Yeah. Well,
are we going
to get it? What, am I alone in that? Am I alone in that?
I mean, you're right in a way, but it just has so much sentimental value to my, to me that I just love
it.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you love it too, Beer Wonder.
I love the music more than anything else.
I'm agnostic to most movies. You know this.
Well, yes. But also, you spent some time seeing musicals. I think as musicals, it's not great. It's not one of the ones that's up there for me. I didn't see it when it initially came out, but by the time I finally saw it, I'd seen it on stage. And I liked it okay. I would also say I saw a college production of it, which I think is probably the best cast for it. Because they're all the right age, as opposed to all of them being 40 pretending to be 16.
Yeah.
You know, you do bring up a good point.
Definitely adult people playing the teenagers, for sure.
But on top of that, when I went to see the play, that starts out with a bunch of people at the high school reunion, and then they're remembering backwards. So if they'd included that framing device in the movie, you could have justified more the fact that they're all way too old for the part.
Wow. I don't know anything about the play, honestly. I've known almost nothing.
Yeah.
But when I first saw that movie and just the opening moment when they start playing that song, the Frankie Valli Grease song, I was like, stop everything. This is my movie. I didn't even need to watch the rest of it. I was so into the Bee Gees too. And
love
at
first sight.
And Barry Gibb wrote that song, so
I do love the idea that we can't get the guy from Happy Days. Let's go to Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, that's what they did. They went right down the line. Yeah.
Like, what other popular sitcom do the kids like these days where they're sort of, you know, a leather jacket? Yeah, okay. Barbarino will do.
Barbarino and also will have to do.
And let's give him Kinnicky's song, too, because, you know.
Yeah.
We really want to humiliate Jeff Conaway a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, right. Grease Lightning, right?
Oh, that's right. Because in the play, Grease Lightning is Kinnicky's song.
That's true.
But it's...
I saw it six times in the theater.
Wow. That's commitment there, Huck.
And you know me, I'm not a musical theater guy. You know, I like musicals, you know, but I've never been obsessive or anything about it. But that movie, boy, I loved it. I mean, it was the women in it too. Like Olivia Newton-John is so beautiful. And that one other actress. In it. I mean, there was a lot. It was dirty. You know, there was a lot of naughty parts. And so as a 12-year-old kid, I'm like, yeah, I want to go see that again.
I think I was 10 and I didn't have autonomy in movie going on my own. So I think mostly at 10 years old, I only saw Disney movies.
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
That's pretty much all my parents took me to when I was 10.
When I was 10, my dad and I were alone and the beginning of that. I have a big family, and all my sisters and my mother, they were somewhere else. I don't know where they were. And he's like, "You want to see a movie?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." And we're looking at the newspaper, as you did back in the day. And I said, "Let's go see Gus. It's about a field goal kicking mule." Mule. I was saying the word mule. It's a Disney film, Gus.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember. Precursor it. Honestly, to this day, I've never seen Gus. But he said. He gently said, "Well, I heard this Star Wars thing is supposed to be good."
Oh.
And so he steered me in the right direction on that one.
That was a good move.
And of course.
And you were 10? I feel like that's right. Yeah, that's a good time. Yeah. That's a good time to hit the Star Wars legacy, you know?
Most of what I know about Gus is what is from Bill Maher comparing Gus to Trump.
Oh, really?
Well, because the whole premise of Gus is, well, there's no rule that says we can't have a horse on the field.
Right.
And that so many things Trump got away with were basically because, well, there's no rule that says we can't. Now, of course, if Trump was a millennial, he probably would have made the whole thing about Air Bud, because isn't that basically the same story?
Yeah, more or less.
Thinking that. Yeah, it's about the same thing. Yeah.
They put the dog in high tops.
Air Bud was a little more talented, I think.
Yeah. But the same one is like, well, there's no rule that says a dog can't be in the game. But how do we get on this particular tangent?
I have no clue. Only through excellence.
Because it started, I know I started by saying, by throwing down the gauntlet and saying I thought Grease the movie sucked, but I'm not sure how we got there.
Boy.
I got to ask about the can. I got to ask about the hell.
Yeah.
Hell.
It's very Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a play on Hell, the Motel Hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, there was a horror movie called Motel Hell.
It was a film,
Hell.
Too, right?
Yeah, it was.
I will say this is I like this kind of hellish. It's got a nuttiness to it.
Ooh,
Rather than being overly sweet, it's got a light nuttiness.
Right.
And a clean finish. Nice, good German style, really. And I've had narrative fermentations before. I don't know if it's the most pretentious name in beer. Probably not.
Oh, my God. But
narrative fermentations. Nice brewery. Nice little brewery in San Jose. Yeah. And I don't know what this is. A real building? Or is it from the film? I'll try to do more research.
It certainly fits with the themes we're already talking about, because I just looked it up, and apparently Motel Hell came out in 1980. So we're even in the same time frame.
Well, there you go.
It was competing with Grease in the theaters. Actually, Grease preceded that. It was earlier. Yeah.
It did, but the way things worked back then, and Grease very well might have still been in theaters at the time, because things ran for years sometimes.
And Robert Stigwood, the producer of Grease, he also produced Saturday Night Fever. So they had the two biggest records... And the biggest movies in back-to-back
years.
Those two
fit so well together, though. That makes sense that one person would be doing both of those things, you know?
Well, it was that Bee Gees connection, too, because, like I said, Barry Gibb wrote the Grease, the song. And that was only made for the film. That was not in the original Broadway show.
That's right.
Was it a Broadway show, even?
Greece? Eventually it was, but I think it was originally two. Yeah, but no, I mean, I think it was first. When I first moved into New York in the late 90s, there was like a terrible thing that like was only being, I think they kind of pioneered that celebrity stunt casting on Broadway. Some of these people have eventually gone on to be performers in their own right, but there was like, well, I remember there were people like Rosie O'Donnell and Brooke Shields. And
so that was in the 90s. The first Broadway production was in the 70s. I think it was like 72.
Yes, you're absolutely
something.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the revival was one of those ones that really pioneered having people who maybe didn't belong on stage. Some of, like I said, I don't want to come down too hard on Brooke Shields there, because she certainly has proved herself to be a stage performer in her own right. But she may not, she might have been a little green at the time. Okay. Here's another crazy thing I'm looking at. Now I'm looking at the cast of Motel Hell, and much like Grease, Wolfman Jack is also in Motel Hell.
Oh my gosh!
There's another connection. There we go.
Yeah,
it all comes together. It's all one.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I have a vague recollection of it being kind of a parody of horror movies. But I generally don't know, because I genuinely don't know.
We were talking about E.T.
and Reese's Pieces. Yeah,
somehow led to Grease.
So we decided
because it was the peanut character in
the peanut in the beer.
Captain's
Thank you.
Beer. Oh. There we would get. I knew we would get there. Now sometimes it takes work because we drink and we forget things.
Grease though.
And there are people right now who are yelling at their podcast, Apple, like, you talked about it before. There's like yell. Sometimes I know people who don't want to listen to podcasts like this, because it's a conversation they would like to be able to participate in, and it frustrates them that they can't.
Right.
I like to think that also we help people feel less alone, because honestly, if they talked back at us, it would be great. It would be great. Like I like the idea that someone is joining in on the conversation. They've poured a beer. They're having one with us. They're just here.
I think we attempted that once. We did a Facebook Live and
yeah, that didn't work so well.
Nobody called in except the Belgian babe.
Yeah. Oh, I think her brother did too.
There's anything wrong with the Belgian?
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, no. This is devolving. I don't know how it all wound up being movies that just slightly before Beer Wonder was born.
This is
look,
what I
watched. That is true. The Grease was before I was born, but like I Air Bud is definitely within my field of vision. That said, I didn't watch Air Bud when I was a kid. It took me like until adulthood, being a little drunk, to watch Air Bud. And I still haven't seen Gus.
There's been five or seven movies.
That dog can get whatever he wants. Okay, he's got a following of people within my age range.
Strangely, that darn cat is currently on the Criterion Channel.
What?
Oh, I like that movie. Yeah, I used to. I don't know if it's any good anymore. Ken Berry.
They curated a whole package of movies that included cats.
Oh, gosh.
Got it.
Is there a reason?
Because they're always trying to come up with themes. And some of the... I mean, I'd actually be curious to watch That Darn Cat. Was Ken Berry in? I know Dean Jones was probably in it.
You know what? You're right about Dean Jones. I confuse the two.
But also there's someone who was in Dark Shadows who I didn't watch until later. I'd like to go back and see her there. Yeah.
We'd have to do hookups on that one.
Yes. Well, Ken Berry was in some of those, Disney movies.
No, it was, you're right. It's Dean Jones the whole time.
And I guess this is my fault, because I said that I only got to go to Disney movies for a while. I made up for it later.
Thank goodness. You would have been missing many things.
They made a remake in 97 starring Christina Ricci and Dougie Doug.
Are we still talking about That Darn Cat or about Gus?
That Darn Cat. And Dean Jones is in the remake.
Of course he is. Yeah, because well, that's the funny thing is, man, I can't believe we're still going down this path, but I'm going to say it anyway.
What the fuck,
right?
Go for it.
The thing is, we're all talking... For any of you millennials or X or Zers out there, there was a time when there were no VCRs, or there only a small portion of them had them. And so right now, Disney likes to sell you the same thing over and over again by just doing shitty remakes of their previous movies. But before VCRs, they would just release the same movies over and over again. So it's just another version. And so, like, for instance, when I was a kid, every four out of five Disney movies I saw were like movies from the 40s and 50s because they would just re-release their library over and over again. And then eventually every once in a while there'd be a new one, but we'd see stuff like Snow White and Pinocchio and Cinderella. And that was the one that my mother approved for us to see. So those are the ones we saw until
also, it was Sunday nights.
Wonderful World of Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney.
I remember Wonderful World of Disney.
We watched that every week. Yeah.
They would run a film. And that's where I saw all the early Kurt Russell movies and the Dean Jones. The Dean Jones, there was another one, the Golden Egg was another.
The Million Dollar Dean Duck. Million Dollar Duck was the name of it.
That's it. That's it.
God. The Million Dollar Duck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was one where he would turn into an animal.
Oh, like Cat Man People. Kind of thing. No, that's a totally different movie.
Putting out fires
with gasoline.
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves.
We've gone on a full journey here, and I'm so proud.
Have we talked about all three of these beers? I'm not even sure because
I've given credence to mine. You've talked about how yours is peanut buttery. Huck has talked about how his is helly and actually kind of sweet, how he likes it. But you know, this isn't the only beer drinking that we've been doing in the last, you know, since we last gathered to do important.
Oh,
things.
Sure, yeah. And we have had some beers together a few times. Most notably, we met for the Globehopper. I don't remember what year he was turning, but we met wife.
It is one that ends at a 5 or a 0, so it was a monumental year for him.
Oh, is he 30? Is he 30 or 30?
I believe it was 35.
Okay, I was going to say 35. He's so youthful, I didn't want to.
I know, he brings the energy at all times, which is fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. So it was cool. We all, he and I first met at Owl Farm, which I hadn't been to for a while. I'm pretty sure the last time.
How was it?
I mean, it was great. I think the last time I was at Owl Farm was for Huck's birthday.
Many moons.
This was back in, not that many. But it was his last birthday in New York. I want to say 2021. Does that sound right? Huck, was your last New York birthday in 2021?
Did you guys start there? Because the last birthday I recall from the Huckster was when we did the Gowanus crawl. That
yes, but he and I place, he right. and I met.
Okay, you guys met up early. Okay,
first, just the two. Of
us. Oh, nice.
And then we walked over to Wild East. Then we went to Finback.
Oh, yes.
And I was realizing when I was meeting up with Globehopper, I was doing kind of the same thing because you weren't available yet, and Catherine, also known as Cider Cat, we can call her both names since she's never been on the episodes. We haven't had her on. And so it was just him and I hanging out there, and because they had so much formative experience in Hawaii, we then went to a Hawaiian place I didn't know that existed. Sweet I think it was their
talk.
First time there as well.
Yep. Sweet talk
in Brooklyn. I don't recall if I had any interesting beers there or not, but I did have some wonderful tuna tacos.
Yes. And furikake fries for me, and a nice little light lager there. And then we headed over to a great little beer bar right underneath the Smith and 9th Street called Q Beer, Q-U-E-U-E.
I never heard of that place.
Yeah, what's up with that? Tell us about it.
So excellently well-crafted. I believe it was the owner was based off of the Carmine Beer crew. And they just have a beautifully curated selection, dedicated lines, and an outstanding selection of cans. Plus, it's got a chill environment that is entirely decorated with Michelob Ultra. And they're like light lager. Their house beer is Michelob, is apparently Michelob, but it is also listed as like the Gowanus champagne or something like that, which of course makes sense because, you know, the champagne of beer.
It's just right around the corner from Other Half. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a beautiful, it is such a cool spot. It's got a great old timey feel. We had an incredible bartender. We had some great beers across the board. And it was just a fun time. We closed it and in true Beer Avengers fashion, we closed that place down.
You did. I left before you guys did.
Yes.
I had to work the next day, or at least I thought I had to work the next day. That's a whole other story. It's not a very interesting story. It was basically the story was I got up to go to work. The trains were fucked up. So I decided to take a vacation day.
No, end of story.
But so I could have, I should have stayed with you guys longer if I knew that was my eventual thing. Okay. Now I remember why it's very important that we talked about this. Was on February 9th, wasn't it? Does that sound right?
I believe the date? So let me take a look. Yes, I think so. It was February 9th. Yes, correct.
Right. Because we were talking about Huck and your whole approach towards bottle logic.
Yes.
And I had a really remarkable draft beer there from Bottle Logic called Dark Star November.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, wait, where's the sound cue for that one?
Oh, you mean this one here?
Oh, fuck yeah, my dude.
Hot.
There we go. Yeah, it's Huck's contract. He doesn't actually have to say that out loud anymore.
It's true. He can just call it from the heavens. Call it from the heavens.
Oh, fuck yeah, my dude.
But yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, so yeah, it was Dark Star November. It was a really fantastic beer. Wonderful way to end that evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
It was such a nice night, and so great to celebrate with Globehopper and Cider Cat, and of course you, the captain. It was. I had one of those moments as I was heading out in a drizzly, chilly New York night, waiting for a bus that was trying to get me there, looking up at the sky and realizing that the F train was no longer running, and you know all the things that happened in New York. But I just had that great moment where I was like, oh, "This is what I love about Gotham. This is what I love about this city." So I had all the feelings. You know, I feel like I have those frequently after I've had a few beers because I'm getting all emotional, and it's usually late and dark. So it was another one of those great, great New York nights.
Now, I don't know this for sure, but the Smith 9th Street Station is if there's anybody that keeps track of this sort of thing, is the highest in the sky station.
I believe that is
in
correct.
In town.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's way up there.
I did not know that.
I don't mean, honestly, I don't know that either. But it is like you take three escalators from the street level to get up to it.
It takes effort to get there.
It is so high up. It's what we call an elevated train. I want to hear the sound of an elevated train. What's another sound I don't should have?
I don't have that in there, but we can
not
try
yet.
Work that
not
in.
Yet. Not yet.
Let me hear the sound of an elevated train.
But right, but
Tommy
you make
Lee
you
Jones,
make
a fugitive.
Oh, Oscar is that winner. Is that okay? I
may have the quote wrong.
I haven't seen that movie in a while, man. So yeah. I will say. To your point, I don't think so much about how high trains are because I don't really, for whatever reason, that does happen a lot, especially since I live in Queens and I take an elevated train every day, so I don't really think so much about how high it is because I mostly notice all the new trains are so low. Like if you're taking the Q train to the Pony Bar, that is so deep in the bowels of the city.
That
like
is
it
true.
Feels like, yeah. Feels like you're going into the Titanic submersible or coming out of it.
I just confirmed it on the interwebs that Smith 9th Street is 87.5 feet above ground level.
All right.
Okay.
That's more than half a Statue of Liberty.
There you go. There you go.
See, and that's a reference point for many people on this beer cast. At least two of us.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting? That place that you talked about, the Q Bar. That when you used to, back in the day, when people used to wait in line for the can releases at Other Half.
Right.
Back when that was a thing. It's not really a thing anymore. But the line would wrap around the corner, and that was like right there where you would. And if Q Bar was open back then.
Oh, yeah. They would have been making bank.
They would have done bang up business. But I guess they probably do well now because they are so close to Other Half and they get a lot of runoff from there. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's great? That was about the right time. I have another beer.
Oh, my goodness. It's very exciting. It's going to be a three-pour evening for us then, I think.
I think Captain might have another as well.
I think, Captain may be taking a little trip to a little special place, but we'll find out.
Now, you all get these your beers from the from the provider.
Yes.
I have my own provider.
No.
her name is Serzan. You might have met her. They came over the other night to watch a film, and she brought a sixer, a curated sixer from the market. And we got this new beer new brewery, not new, but new to the podcast. Oh, it's dripping on the computer. It's Mammoth Brewing.
Wow.
And it is called Double Nut Brown. Double Nut Brown. It is. That's delightful. Nutty. It is a Double Nut Brown, and it is actually a blend of a brown and a porter. So I'm interested
to
see the vibe on this one. I've had this in the fridge for a while. I know Sarah Zahn bought one, but I had one already that I was going to use in a podcast, but I never used it. And now here we are. Let's open her up.
All right.
And Mammoth Brewing. Have you guys been to Mammoth Lakes, California?
I've been to Mammoth Cave.
Oh, okay.
That's in Kentucky.
Mammoth Lakes is a town, so I'm told, and it is like on the other side of the mountain. Okay, so it's like really hard to get to, and people go there and have a good time. They have a beer festival every year.
Okay.
A blues and beer festival, which I want to go to. Larkin Poe was playing and a couple of other cool artists. I don't know why this head is not showing. Oh, there it is showing now.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's pretty. It's real pretty. It's
brown. And look, our listeners might not know this, but look, birch trees.
Oh, that has significance for reasons that some people might know, but others might not.
It does.
My name is Birch.
Oh, my gosh.
The cracks are showing.
Don't tell the people. Don't tell the people, Huck. Anyway.
Well, since Huck's enjoying his beer, I'm not going to make him play the song, but I just went down to the captain's cellar.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I was going to, I thought that might be happening. So I did kind of give Huck a little warning that perhaps that's where you're headed.
I heard a little of that. And I was like, we're showing people behind the curtains. Like they're not supposed to know that I'm not here. But yes, I just took a trip down to the captain's cellar.
To the where?
Captain's cellar. Yeah. Come high water or hell, yeah. Filled with stouts and porters, made with bricks and mortars, going to the captain's cellar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Wow. So
That wasn't bad.
That was seductive.
That was very nice. So I'm getting away a little bit from, I'm a glutton for whatever because this doesn't have peanuts in it, but it is definitely a pastry stout. This is from near the place where I grew up in Cincinnati. It's called Streetside Brewing. I've never been there, so I should go there sometime. Okay. The name of the brewery, Streetside Brewing, and the beer is Speak of the Devil.
Oh my!
It's a coconut latte.
Okay.
It describes itself as an imperial pastry stout with coffee, vanilla and toasted coconut.
Oh my.
Look at that great can art. I think it's half. I chose it half because of that great can art.
That is really cool. And that is like one of the more captain-y beers we've had in a moment.
Yes.
After all those peanuts, after all those M&Ms, those
and the Belgian double, and barely any head at all there.
I know that literally just poured and then sat.
Oh no, there it is.
It's creeping up. Just poke it out. Yeah. Oh my gosh, very cool. I love the comic book art on it. Oh, so good.
And really playing it to the horror theme with our our beers, even though we haven't really played into it in our conversation. But
no, not at all.
Oh, yeah, the head is definitely a little more prominent.
Oh, now it's back. Point. Okay. So it's rising from the dead, the head.
Oh, very good. Very well
12%
played.
12% ABV.
So that is death right there. That'll kill you.
Let's hope not just yet. Maybe just slowly maim me. This is very nice. I mean, that's good. Yeah, it is sweet, but in ways I don't mind. Coffee's really strong in there. Coconut to a lesser degree, vanilla, not as much. Anything where coffee is right up to the forefront, I'm on board with that.
Oh, yeah. That is captain through and through. Now, we had our adventures, but Huck, I know you had a monumental night, it sounds like, where you hit two of the heavy hitters of the beer sphere in the same evening.
It was funny because I started out at our one of our favorite places there, Spokeasy.
We like them.
And I went in and I'm like, I honestly had this idea in my head that I was going to drink light this evening. But I went in and Jacob, the bartender, he's like, you got to hit this triple IPA. I'm like, really? I have to? He's like, you have to get it. And it was from a new brewery called Wondrous Brewing. So I had that triple IPA there. And then we did the comedy show. And strangely enough, one of the other comedians did a whole bit on names of beers and how it's out of control. You know, he said Pliny the Younger, because Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger. How about Pliny the age appropriate? You know, he was doing jokes like that. And then I went to another bar of Goldstein's, and they had the Pliny the Younger. But while I was at
Pliny the criminally underage.
Exactly.
I'm prepping an Epstein joke here, but I'm going to let that one sit.
Pliny the jailbait.
Yeah.
Pliny the jailbait. That's the line you need.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. The one Pliny I had the
elderly.
Called,
yeah.
And the one I went from Wondrous Brewing was called Triple Cuff. So I don't know how that plays into it, but it's 10.5% on that one.
Okay.
And then I went to get a can to bring over to the theater where they're doing this comedy, and I was like, well, I can't not get a Heady Topper.
Right. Well, obviously.
It's right
That's
here.
Solid. That's solid logic.
And there, that Heady's, I think, 8%. And then when I went over to Goldstein's, I was like, well, I can't not get Pliny the Younger. It's only here.
Yeah, of course.
This is how an evening of poor decisions begins. Yeah.
Oh my lord. Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm sorry. Poor beautiful decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good. If I could keep other drugs out of the equation, then it wouldn't be a problem. But I have to shoot heroin, and it's just who I am.
Yeah, you can't not do heroin when the opportunity shows up.
Yeah. You have to take it. It's important. It matters.
You don't want to be rude. Somebody offers it.
Yeah. I mean, they're never going to offer it again if you don't take them up on it. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they're like, oh, here's the guy who doesn't like heroin.
Right, exactly. By the way, the Double Nut Brown is, it is classified as a porter. It's actually not that strong. It says it's 5.something%. So, there it is, 5.5, which I don't mind. That's great. But it's called double, the word double. But I think it's doubling up on the nuts, I guess.
Double nut.
Double nut.
Brown. Or the double is that it's a brown and a porter at the same time.
I see. Yeah. Double nut sounds kind of dirty.
That's the double they're going for. And you should have a double nut. You don't want to just have one. Although some people can, I don't want to, leave out those of us that have had that kind of, cancer, where you had to have one removed, So,
See, that's, you went to a darker place. I was thinking you were going to some kind of a, I thought you were pivoting towards a that's what she said joke, not ball cancer.
I just love looking at Beer Wonder's face while I'm going down this road. He's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just best that I remain confused. I feel like that's sometimes the best tactic here.
I think it's also good if other people talk. but they do say on their...
What, 40 minutes in, we were doing a satirical riff on... Were we yes-ending each other on heroin use?
Oh, my God. Oh boy!
Stay in school. Don't do drugs. Did I fix it?
The DARE program really did a number on some of us.
They say on their description, no nuts were harmed or used during the brewing of this beer. So that's good to know.
Thank God.
Glad.
It just has
that,
a nutty flavor.
Yeah.
Nice brewery. Nice beer. I probably will never visit because I don't like driving on these mountain roads.
Well, no nuts were harmed, contrary to like when you get one sliced off because it has cancer.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Getting harmed.
I didn't know you were going to get so dark.
Wow. Well, I just went back to where you were, Huck. It's all. Yeah, you were talking about you were talking about nut cancer a minute ago, weren't you?
Check the tape. Well, a lot of people, Tom Green.
Sure.
Anyway, well, that's another thing that was the point.
Freddy Got Fingered is showing up on the Criterion Channel next month.
Oh my gosh.
They're doing a whole curated package on the Razzies.
As they should.
Which I think is a good segue into, I've recently discovered a new word that I think perfectly describes so many things that we've been dealing with in the post-pandemic world.
And that word this is...
The article was specifically talking about Amazon Prime, but I think it does fit a lot of things. And the word is enshittification.
Oh, okay.
Enshittification refers to a thing where someone wants to cut costs, but they don't want to raise the price. So they keep it at the same price, but kind of just give you a less good version of it. So it's not terrible. It's close enough that it reminds you of what happened before, but it's just kind of shitty compared.
So you're thinking about the adding ads to Amazon Prime streaming. Is that kind of where you're like, where this
that is what,
one
that is
example
what the,
of that?
That is what the article was about. The example they were using was specifically because rather than introducing a new tier, they decided, well, even though you signed up and you paid for this for a year for this service being away, we are actually going to remove some of the things that you paid for. You paid for an ad-free experience. You paid for two-day shipping. We're not going to guarantee any of that shit anymore. I mean, honestly, the two-day shipping, a lot of times, I think, got a situation where it's like you're guaranteed two-day shipping. Well, you're guaranteed free shipping with Amazon Prime. You're not guaranteed 2 days. And they never really apologize for that. It's like, oops, it took another day. And they don't give you any sort of a refund and all of that. And this was a deal where they're like, hey, starting this day, unless you want to pay an extra $3 a month, we're going to put ads on this thing. So this thing that is the exact same price, this thing that you paid for is now just a little shittier. And I think there are so many things that we're dealing with in our version of the post-pandemic world that are like that.
Yeah.
Like something where, I mean, theoretically, you could have someone who would say like, oh, this beer is really popular, but if we want to keep the same great ingredients we had in it last year, we're going to have to raise the price. So instead of raising the price, we're going to cut a few corners and charge the same price as last year so we can therefore enshittify this beer.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there are any beers that do it, but I'm sure there are some that have.
Well, it's capitalism, essentially, is the problem.
It is, but this is like a unique pandemic era brand of it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, like, you know, or another version is like where they will like change the size of the can. Like that'll be another way of doing it with beer. Say like, well, we're going to sell this in a 12 ounce instead of a 16 ounce, but we're going to charge the same price for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
enshittification. You know, that's. Or and this doesn't. I'm using beer because this is a beer podcast, but there are definitely examples of them like making something an ounce or a half ounce less than it used to be, so you don't notice that you're not getting as much for the money you got before.
Oh yeah, it's definitely happening. It's out there.
Yeah, it's the enshittification factor.
It is insidious, and I understand that.
The fact that they're cracking down on password sharing on all those streaming sites.
Mm-hmm.
You used to be able to pay for a thing and share it with your friends, and now you can't, even though you're paying the same amount you were then. Enshittification.
Yeah.
I'm going to be using it a lot, I think.
But I got to say, well, I think that the side three of the Grease soundtrack, where they play all the sha-na-na stuff.
Is it a double album?
It's a double album.
Holy fuck.
Because of the sha-na-na. Like side three is like all the sha-na-na stuff with because they play at the prom,
right?
Sure,
at the dance, and so
that kind of revived their career.
They do all
it?
Like the
a
little
do all the old standards, and it's that part of it. It's like okay, we don't need to listen to this. Yeah.
Well, sometimes we forget that sha-na-na was at Woodstock.
Who
sha-na-na performed at Woodstock?
They did.
And I'm sure their set was great, but it's just, it's funny. You think of all these like cutting edge 60s and here's like a 50s nostalgia act at Woodstock.
Right.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. They went on early too, I think. There's a lot of acts that performed at Woodstock that you don't know about. For example, I was trying to, Jerry Lewis was there.
Oh, did he
performed?
What did he? Did he do stand up?
Oh, ladies.
Yeah.
And who else was
or did
there?
He like just introduce somebody or I know that I don't know. I did not know Jerry Lewis was there.
Oh, no, I just started making shit up.
Oh, OK. So he wasn't there, but, you know, so that was one tack of humor you were going to go with. I was going to go with the other tack of humor. So like, you know, a lot of people don't know that Jimi Hendrix was there.
Yeah. I like that. Oh, my gosh. You know,
a lot of people don't know that the Grateful Dead were there.
The Grateful Dead. The Who. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know the Who were there, which is true, actually.
Who?
I was thinking that earlier. So,
I guess who? Yeah.
Go back to another episode. I was gonna remember our guest was at Flagship Brewing.
Yes.
And I was gonna go into a whole thing. I was like, is that their flagship beer?
Oh my gosh.
I wish you had.
And no, I restrained myself.
But you could have, Huck. You could have.
Well, I did the Newsies bit. I thought that was.
I thought that was smart. Yeah. I thought that was solid. I thought that.
What
that
a career our friend Mark has. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, and still a finger on the pulse of what's going on. I thought the idea that concerts are the new approach makes a lot of sense. Fewer people, easier to produce, a little cheaper to produce. Yeah. Still one-offs, gets a lot of the bang for your buck. Yeah. I mean, rough for a person who's trying to make a living in the field, I imagine, unless each concert's paying a lot. But
my favorite thing that he didn't mention was that apparently at some point he got to do a tour or a regional production of Christmas Story. And he was, I think he was the narrator.
Okay.
And his wife played his mother.
Oh.
Oh,
because
wow.
Within the story of A Christmas Story, you have the kid and the mother.
Right, right.
And so he's the narrator telling the story, and his wife is playing the mother of his child self.
Sure, that makes sense.
So, always nice to get to work together when you're a performing couple.
Yeah, oh, I was wondering about that, because especially when couples tour, you know, I know other couples, like theatrical mm-hmm. couples, that they do this, and they're dedicated to the craft, and they go out on the road. And I mean, I did that once in my relationship and it was torture.
Really?
It was just like, yeah, it was not, because I was just like, we got to get back together. This is nuts.
You and Cider Girl need time away from each other.
Well, no, I'm saying it wasn't good. Like, a time away is good. A couple days.
Yeah.
But this was like,
oh, I'm sorry. I was, since we were talking about Mark and his wife, or shall
right,
we say,
yeah.
The Brubador and his wife.
The Brubador, yes.
I thought you were saying that touring together was a nightmare. You found that being away from her was a nightmare.
Right, right.
I totally misunderstood. Okay, that's
and it's just, thing. We just have that kind of relationship where,
yeah,
you know, we just need to be with each other or it's over.
Oh, wow. That took a turn. That took
we're
a turn for the
each
worse.
Other right now, actually. So,
well, yeah, a few hours away from each other.
Only a few hours.
I'm here in her mother's house, so we're probably okay.
Yeah, I think y'all will be okay.
Thanks for setting our minds at ease about that.
I was worried.
But it really was hard, and I never did another tour.
I think I was touring at the same time you were touring, I was touring with something else.
That's right.
We actually, I think, dealt with it in the short term better, but you guys are still together, so I guess you win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That way, then yeah. now beer wonders.
We got to dig. I got to dig us out of this, but I'm trying to figure out how to do it.
Help us.
Well,
beer wonder.
Let me ask you a question, Captain, because there is potential, and I'm going to dig us even deeper. You mentioned some sad news in the Beer Avengers sphere around one of our favorite places called the Grand Delancey. And I know you took a pilgrimage there recently.
I did. I didn't have a whole lot of time because I was going to a movie screening, but I had to swing by Grand Delancey one last time before they left. And it was a wonderful experience. I had just had a couple of beers there to say farewell. Here's the other thing. In the last episode, we talked about how they were closing.
Yeah.
It came out just a few days later that the whole downstairs at Essex Market is closing.
Which is just so sad.
So yeah. If they hadn't chosen to move out, they probably would have been forced out. But I imagine them moving out probably helped push that decision forward. But yeah, apparently the market line, which is what that basement space is called, is somehow under separate management of the market that's upstairs. So the whole thing's going away. But and when I talked to the people there, they seemed really they weren't having a lot of success with finding a new place. But I guess it's all pretty new, so hopefully they will have some inroads to all of that. But I had a couple of final beers there, and I'm gonna see. I was looking up Dark Star before, so let me see if I can find out. Okay, the last. I don't think I logged both of them because I was having such a nice time talking. But the first one I had there was a Baltic Porter from Halfway Crooks Beer called Bash.
Oh, I heard of that brewery. Yeah.
And it was interesting. I think I texted you guys that there was a beer from the brewery that was like a $40 bottle that I really would have loved to have ordered. But I was on my way to a screening of Poor Things, and I knew I didn't want to rush it. But if you guys had been there, I would have bought that bottle and shared it with you. That would have been a wonderful farewell
get into
to them.
Poor Things, talk about that or.
Well, why don't you start?
Yeah, go for it.
I'll start. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if people have seen it. Great performances. I think Mark Ruffalo is really great in it. And I actually pretty much enjoyed the movie.
But I think Emma Stone was amazing in it.
Amazing. Amazing nipples. but I was, my point being that it was a movie that is advertised as some sort of like, oh, and also Willem Dafoe. Excellent performance.
Oh, so fucking great. Yeah.
And it was sort of presented as this sort of fantastical movie, otherworldly. Like, does it take place in our world? They call it Portugal, but it's a different kind of Portugal. There's sky tramps. And, but it's a movie about fucking.
Okay.
If I was
Godfrey
now, it's a movie about fucking.
Yeah. Huck, I love this director so much that I deliberately tried to avoid any connection with what you're talking about. So I decided, okay, it's a Yorgos Lanthimos movie. I'm in. I didn't even know, but I
didn't know either.
But basically it's Frankenstein.
There is that element.
It's not just that element. I mean, that's the whole, it's an incredibly original new version of it. But it's the thrust of the plot, thrust to go with all of your fucking stuff.
Oh my god! It's
basically the Frankenstein story, but I think an incredibly original, unique retelling of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And you talk just about Emma Stone's nipples, but I gotta go into a little
the
spoiler.
Areolas are nice too.
I gotta go into a little spoilery thing here. Is that
I mean,
so? She is.
The whole thing.
Well, I don't think just by noting there's a lot of fucking in it. There is a lot of fucking in it. It's fine. It's part of how we develop as people because
how we develop as people.
She starts out essentially at the beginning of the movie as a baby.
Oh,
and,
correct.
And so she has just been born. She's the new Frankenstein monster, and I didn't even start to appreciate her performance. It's like it's so seamless. I didn't start to appreciate it until like I was thinking about it a couple of days later about how much her character grows. And I wasn't like noticing her technique when I was watching it, but her character, much like Frankenstein in the more faithful adaptations, Frankenstein's monster is very verbose by the time he gets to the end of it. He's not just fire.
Maybe I just don't know the Frankenstein story as well as I should.
It's the idea that like something about the whole process is there's a very fast learning curve. So even though she starts out as a baby, she accelerates pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes. Her maturity happens very quickly.
And it made me want to watch the movie again because there's a lot of points where she is like speaking in sentence fragments and things. Right. And that at some point she's speaking very articulately. And I didn't even see the transition because I was so caught up in the story. I also, the art direction is fucking amazing.
Yeah, they should win the Oscar for art direction for sure.
and the art direction mirrors her advancement in her intellect. Okay, what did you just mumble? You can say it out loud.
No, I was clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. I thought you were. Yeah. No, because I thought like it starts out. Oh yeah, fuck you, Captain. You movie sucked. No, it's just like the way it starts out with her mental development there in like grainy black and white, and the more her brain develops, the more sumptuous the art direction gets.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't notice when it goes from black and white to color.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it didn't seem like, oh, look, they did this now, like I felt with Maestro.
Didn't see Maestro.
Yeah, you don't. I'm sorry. You should watch it. We can talk about it later. I didn't love it.
Next podcast.
But I would say that of the current crop, I'm seeing Holdovers tomorrow night. But of the current crop, Poor Things is probably my favorite.
Oh, snap. Okay. I mean, I like the Holdovers is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I like some of the movies. I can't remember what the other ones are.
Yeah. Well, we got to vote before Friday afternoon.
Might have been this Double Nut Brown.
Double Nut Brown.
I like how, like, if you see me, you guys can't see the image of me, but my mouth is covered. So it just looks like I'm just like, I'm not saying anything at all.
No, you're like partially in shadow. So there's a whole, it's very moody.
It's very moody.
I mean, I have elements to that here myself. If I duck too far behind the mic, it does that.
Well, last time I did it, we did a podcast in this space where I am currently, we had a blackout.
I recall that. Yes, that was a weird night.
No storm.
We got the episode in right at the end. We got it right. We landed the plane right when we needed to.
We did have another atmospheric river just yesterday, but it's all good now.
All right. So I'm looking at my notes. I think we've talked about pretty much everything. We talked about Grandalancy. We talked about Enshittification. The only thing I neglected is I did, when we had our episodes about California, I didn't mention Old Town Temecula and the Aftershock Brewery, which I liked very much. Just for any completionist.
Shout out to Aftershock.
Or if Pat and Sarah are listening, because I love that they took me to Old Town Temecula. A lot of cities in California have old towns.
Yes, they do.
And that was a nice one.
The phrase Old Town Temecula is just, it's got a great sound to it.
Yeah.
I was worried too many episodes had passed by, but your reaction makes me feel like I'm glad I mentioned it.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, And Temecula's been having a moment recently, thanks to Saturday Night Live. So,
Lisa, a book banning in Temecula, or that they're
Lisa from Temecula. No, that's happening everywhere. But Temecula specifically had a character on SNL played by Egon Rodum, who was always trying to cut steaks that were a little too tough.
Yes, you know, she's doing the work.
She is doing the work. Look at the beer wonder with the pop culture.
See, sometimes I'm hip to what the kids are doing these days, but most of the time, no. I mean, I did introduce you all to BFFR. Have I introduced you all to Riz?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what Riz is. I've heard it, yeah.
Apparently, I mean, it's apparently short for charisma, but apparently you can't really use it. So, awkward.
Okay.
That's how we get our explicit rating, apparently.
I feel like I might have to re-release the Be Fucking For Real episode just with initials, because I think it might have gotten blocked in some circles because of the title.
Oh.
They don't give a fuck what we say on the show.
Right.
But if it's fucking in the title, I like, yeah, we got an email back from YouTube saying we can't release this
Be
to everyone.
Or, for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, just BFFR, which means best friends for real.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, but we can pretend that. That's part of the enshittification of society, is we don't even know the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where we're headed. So I can't tell how long we've been going because the timer does not say.
I know, but time. We may be close. If people want to reach out to us, and now that we're at episode 98, my goodness, so much. How should they? Yes. Honestly, 98
you reach
episodes.
Out to us.
Yeah.
You should reach out to us, because we're going to be taking a break in a couple of episodes, and we want to read your emails and your comments and your thoughts. you know, especially if you're, you know, you heard how much love we doled out to Eric and Sweetie because they flattered us. And also we like them. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
And so any comments you mention will be on here. If you send them to thebeervengers@gmail.com, put stuff in our Instagram, our Facebook, less so if it's Twitter, the former Twitter, the whatever the fuck you want to call it, the piece of shit Elon Musk.
The twatter.
Yeah, yeah. The twatter, yes. We should just call it twatter. Beer Wonder, I think you've stumbled onto something there. Because we don't want to talk about Twitter because we don't like them. We don't want to call X because it's a stupid name. So let's just call it twatter.
Well,
I think that's... I think that's a wonderful end to note it on, as I said once.
I believe so. So should we come back anytime? Is that what you're saying?
We should come back anytime, at least a couple more times. And then eventually other times. And I think that is Huck's cue to play it out. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
I think it might be.
See you next time.
With a beer Avengers.
We are the Beervengers.
Are we?
Fuck yeah.